Welcome to the Meaning of Home podcast, where we discuss the complexities and connections between home and homelessness. I'm your host, Sarah Christou, and as always, with me is the podcast's producer, Dave Angel. We are doctoral researchers at Loughborough University, part of the Harnessing Opportunities for Meaningful Environments Centre for Doctoral Training, for short, the Home CDT. We are a cohort of seven PhD projects approaching concepts of home and homelessness through a creative lens to develop impactful new research. Every month, we'll bring a new episode with a range of guests to provide commentary and conversation on different themes. In this episode, our theme is self-expression, where we'll be discussing the importance of the arts and creativity in addressing the needs of people experiencing homelessness. Today, we are delighted to be joined by David Tovey and Matt Peacock from Arts and Homelessness International, AHI. David is an artist, educator and activist who works in a range of media, drawing on his previous experiences of homelessness. He has exhibited internationally in Montreal, New York, Melbourne, and is also the founder of the UK's Festival of Homeless Arts, now named One Roof Festival. He speaks regularly at housing and homelessness events and teaches art to people experiencing homelessness. David is co-director of Arts and Homelessness International. Matt is a former support worker, founder of Streetwise Opera and CLAW Leadership Fellow. He is one of Gordon Brown's everyday heroes, one of the Evening Standard's most influential Londoners, and a Southbank Centre changemaker. Matt is also a freelance consultant associate at Counterculture and a qualified executive coach. He was awarded an MBE for services to homelessness and the arts in 2011. Alongside David, Matt is also co-director of Arts and Homelessness International. Welcome, David and Matt, to the Meaning of Home podcast. Let's jump straight in. So people with lived experience of homelessness not only face housing challenges, but also social isolation, a lack of agency and self-expression. So not only do individuals need a home, but also a multitude of support to recover from the trauma of homelessness. And this includes the arts and community connection. Arts and Homelessness International works to bring positive change to people, projects and policy in the homelessness community through arts and creativity. So Matt, can you tell us a bit more about how and why Arts and Homelessness International began?
Yes, of course. And thank you so much for the invitation to be here. We're great fans of the podcast and what you're trying to achieve. Arts and Homelessness International began around about 2012. I at that point was many years into running another charity called Streetwise Opera, which is an opera company for people who are or have been homeless. And in a move which I think was really courageous by the Olympics, they really wanted to give a platform to people with a lived experience of homelessness to kind of change the narrative around the Olympics coming to London. And in previous Olympics, Winter Olympics and Summer Olympics, there had been real problems with homeless people being moved off the streets, kind of the streets cleansed, if you like, as the glitzy show comes to town and the cameras roll into the streets. It seems like previous cities didn't necessarily want the world to see a homelessness problem. But London 2012 thought that it could be an opportunity to tell a different story. And we simply, at Streetwise Opera, as one of the bigger charities working in arts and homelessness, suggested that we do a showcase, almost like an open mic night, of all of the projects that we could find around the UK to perform, to do theatre, stand up. There was a band, there was a film programme, some visual art. And when we had all got together and crucially had asked all of the 300 or so performers with lived experience what they wanted, it was really interesting. There was a sort of unanimous feeling that people wanted to show achievement rather than need, and also just really loved getting together. So over the next few years, we started what was called With One Voice, which was a movement of arts and homelessness, bringing people together. And now that's since 2019 become an independent charity, which is a network of arts and homelessness around the world with around about 500-600 members that we know about across the world and many, many artists.
And did that sort of Olympics legacy also continue with, Rio and Tokyo too? Was there a continuation of that building of community between the arts and homelessness?
Yes, I think, these big events come and go, but obviously we wanted a real legacy. And the most important things that I think all of us believe in is that, yes, the arts is incredibly enriching. Homelessness is not just about housing, but it's also about regularity and building a community. So if you take things away, it can be really devastating once we experience what it's like to be listened to and have our creative voice heard and be creative, sometimes for the first time. So we were keen, to continue it. And then Rio 2016 wanted to do something similar. We said, we know nothing about homelessness in Rio. So we did what was the first of many mapping exercises. David's just finished one in Medway in Kent, but that one was a kind of mapping exercise in Brazil of arts and homelessness, with the idea that quite quickly that arts, of course, is quite peripheral in homelessness, but we believe it's also really vital as part of a jigsaw of support. So it doesn't replace anything, it's additional, but if you miss that piece of the jigsaw, you kind of miss the whole picture, I guess. So we did some good research. We went there, we set up, helped set up choirs, because there was a lot of work in the favelas, and Brazil's really famous for having some amazing social justice projects in the favelas, but nothing really on the streets. So we listened to what everyone wanted, set up a choir, and that's still going strong, based at the Museum of Tomorrow, meeting every week in Rio.
That's great. And David, if I could bring you in on that point, on that extra puzzle piece.
And talking about the choir, what was really special about it was the fact that it actually opened the actual Olympics, the choir that we set up. So when you see the video footage of the opening ceremony, it started with a homeless choir, and that was when we set up, and which was amazing. And then that obviously had the knock-on effect to us working in Japan. Obviously, Japan was different because for us, Matt had been out there for a few years and building relationships anyway, but COVID happened. And so we had to look at it in a completely different way. Of how do we engage still with the Olympics when nobody's allowed out there? The whole country was shut off. So we actually ended up doing a hybrid version and including our work that we were doing in Coventry with City of Culture at the time, with an international summit, and actually bringing those communities together via an online space and actually doing collaborations with some of the dance groups in Japan, which at the time, until we did our Global South research, was the only dance group, homeless dance group in the world that we knew of, called Soccerisa. So, even though COVID caused massive problems, actually, in a way, it actually opened more avenues for us to be able to work with community that is fundamentally not given a voice. We were suddenly truly international by having an online space which everybody from our community could come together, and I think that's what sort of has initiated a lot of the work that we do now as well.
And just picking up that point, because we've touched a little on, you've made reference to some projects that you've done, some research that you've done, but I know that AHI does a lot of work, so kind of we know where you've started, where you've come from. So now if we fast forward to what are all the different areas of work of Arts and Homelessness International?
But so we do five different areas of work, from events and exchanges to advocacy, research, and training. Funny enough, spelling out art. and through that body of work, it covers everything from countrywide and town sort of like mapping to one-on-one mentoring with people from the community, to international exchanges, to massive events, corporate events that we do. I'm trying to think what else. Like our training, we cover three different lots of training, from how to set up a homeless arts project to co-production or co-creation, whatever you want to call it nowadays, to cultural spaces training, where we work predominantly with cultural spaces around the world, for them to open up access and opportunities for people with lived experience of homelessness. But also with the co-creation side of it, it's about demystifying our community in a way. So taking away that fear where people automatically look at the negative side of our community, thinking they're all, you know, drug abusers, alcoholics, people with mental problems. And that, you know, is a small case within our community. But what we try and do is actually showcase the assets of our community, you know, the amazing singers, the amazing artists, the amazing storytellers, producers, directors, you know, filmmakers. You know, there's a plethora of advantages about working with people from our community. So we'll try and highlight those advantages, you know.
Thank you, David. And yeah, Matt, if I could bring you in on what David was talking about there. I mean, when I think about my first encounter with Arts and Homelessness International, it was part of Coventry's City of Culture Arts and Homelessness Festival. So I know there you've got the pieces on advocacy, the pieces on research, the pieces on training, and we can see what that benefit might be in terms of local communities and working with local councils. But that larger piece of work in terms of connections between the global arts and homelessness sector, why is that piece important? Why is it arts and homelessness international? Why does that global part of the work matter?
That's a really good question. And I think it sort of boils down to the fact that when you're in a social justice space, particularly in the arts and social justice, it can be quite a lonely experience. You're forever trying to make the case that arts is really important, and, you know, people have their own, I guess, preconceptions about the arts, that it's a luxury item or something to do if you're bored. And I guess we'd always, because we know, and we'll talk a bit about the research, what the research tells us about arts and homelessness in a second, I guess, that it is fundamentally important. And so our job really as a network is to say to the sector, what do you need from us? And that is a very wide sector. It's not just the UK. It is predominantly, there are more projects in the UK and the US, but there's some incredible projects all around the world, and some of which we learn from. So in terms of their methodologies and what they do. So as a sector, we feel like we can, in order to grow, we need to have a wide conversation, knowledge exchange, supporting each other, making sure these tiny organizations that are run on a shoestring by one person don't feel isolated. They're part of a community. And if that happens, the momentum accelerates, and arts will then, we hope, it's our vision, be more of a sort of standard normalized area of homelessness support and be mainstreamed. We have this analogy of everyone in our sector, and everyone, I guess, running grassroots organizations, feels like a stick that can be easily broken, but if you put a bunch of sticks together, it's much harder to snap those. So in a way, a network, and what we do is about solidarity and getting people together and, you know, putting our arm around people and saying, you are not alone, we've got your back.
And I think that reminds me actually of something that I've heard both of you reference before in terms of creativity as a human right. And in conversations and presentations I've seen in the past by Arts and Homelessness International, there's the reference to Article 27 of the UN Charter, that everyone has the right freely to participate in the cultural life of the community and to enjoy the arts. And what's come through in my own research and that of the home CDT at Loughborough University is that because home is an expression of self, not limited to one place, this means that when we experience a loss of home, we can also experience a loss of the self. And so we need the freedom of self-expression as part of restoring our identity. Thinking along those lines, David, can you tell us more about why growing creative opportunities for people who have or are experiencing homelessness matters?
Great question. And probably the easiest way for me to explain it is to actually make it personal. As an artist myself with lived experience, I went from being street homeless to having my work seen at the Tate Modern, Tate Liverpool, into New York, into Australia, into Norway, Canada, etc. Right, and what that did, and it picked me up to give me agency. It gives me knowledge and skills. It gives me that way of communicating in a way that other people wouldn't normally be able to communicate. And I think for me, it's that's the main thing, is not everyone has the ability to be able to fill out a form or to access help in a way where people understand them, whether it's language barriers or you know, some sort of I don't want to say problem because I hate that word, but sort of like something in yourself that you find difficult to explain. I have brain damage and I'm severely dyslexic, but it shouldn't stop me from being able to access and do stuff to be able to talk about that, right? And what the art does, it gives me that license, that ability to say things in a way that can bring people into a room that can make a change, right? I've seen it myself just from having an exhibition down in Medway, I guess 2 years ago now. And that's gone on to lead to councils initiating a whole new strategy and arts plan for the whole of the area. You know, unheard of. But being able to give people a piece of paper and say, just draw something, like, or paint something, or sing something, or just to be able to have that freedom to be themselves instead of having to be put into a box and trapped all the time. It's that identity type thing, isn't it? It's being able to access an identity that you want to be. And why shouldn't people be able to, you know, stand in a field and scream if they wanted to? You know, surely they should be allowed to do that, you know? The arts has this ability to give you back your soul, pick you up, to reinvigorate. I could go on forever, like, you know, of the positive sides, because there isn't any negative, right? You know, there's not a single negative about engaging in the arts, right? It's probably one of the only things in the world that there isn't a negative, right? Because everything you do is about giving someone that voice, or having their voice, you know, reinstated, is probably the best way to put it for me. You know, it saves lives. You know, I always say that art saved my life. Well, it did. It truly did. And if it can do it for me, and I was pretty much broken as a person, it can do it for anyone. You know, it doesn't matter whether you're the King of England or whether you're Joe Bloggs on the streets. You have the exact same rights to access and do art and make art and be art. It's about being. Yeah, sorry, I can go on forever for this, lad.
No, thank you, David. That's a beautiful way of putting it. And also I can see a broad smile across Matt's face as you express it in that way. And of course, you know, this episode is all about self-expression. So I think what you were saying there touches on perhaps the idea is that the arts is part of our humanity. It's not this bolt-on. It's something absolutely necessary to who we are. Actually, I wondered, Matt, if we could come back to that piece of AHI's work on research. Obviously, David was saying there, you know, there's this spectrum of benefits that people have when they have the opportunity to be creative and to engage in the arts. Is there specific research that AHI has conducted on those benefits, in particular for people who are currently experiencing or have experienced homelessness, as either an individual benefit, a community benefit, or kind of that broader piece to society as well?
Yes, there is. And we noticed at the beginning, and in a sense, we realized that for us to be useful, we needed to enable other organizations to make the case about this work. So we looked around to see what studies and evaluation there was. And we created a literature review in 2019, where we studied over 60 evaluations around the world of arts and homelessness projects. What was interesting in that was that there were four consistent things that had come out of all projects, and some of which the results and the impacts had been all four of these things. And David's mentioned a couple of them. So knowledge and skills is a clear benefit, well-being, so mental and physical health. And if you consider that, depending on the country and depending on the year, typically people who have experienced homelessness, their well-being statistics are sort of three times worse than the general public, and this is distressingly going up, but homeless people are seven times more likely to commit suicide. Having some intervention, and this goes beyond arts, I think, anything positive, sports, gardening, does really enable people's well-being, physical and mental health to develop. And then there's resilience. And resilience is something that's really at the heart of, I think, a lot of these projects, and corresponds to what we talk about in terms of what is strong about you, not wrong about you. And the arts can really enable people to see that despite this traumatic experience that many people have gone through, resilience is always growing in some ways. And then the final one is agency, is voice, is the confidence that you have to be able to stand up and have your voice heard, which comes out from a lot of arts and homelessness projects. So these are four key things that we talk about. And there are many more. What is hard is, you know, academic style of evaluation, where you have control groups, because most of this work is done in the grassroots, and it can be really counterproductive and relatively unethical to sort of measure people closely right from day one of an intervention. Sometimes it just takes a huge amount of trust to get people to step into a room. I remember one project we worked in, and it took us 6 months of weekly sessions for someone to speak and take their hood down. And so, you know, rigorous evaluation is challenging, but we're getting there.
reminds me of something that we were talking about right at the top of this episode as well, which I'd like to unpack a bit more, is dismantling that negative narrative around homelessness as well. So there's benefits to the individuals in terms of their well-being and community connection, that strengths-based approach. But on the flip side of it as well, the arts are something to be potentially publicly enjoyed as well. There's an element of storytelling. There's an element of getting people to come and engage with these arts as well. And perhaps then that's about addressing the stigma around homelessness. So on that point, David, if I could bring you in, how do the arts help then in terms of like public perception, address the stigma that's associated with experiences of homelessness?
Really, really, really good question. It's a really complex answers as well, because for me personally, I'm sick and tired of the view that we see in the media all the time, where it's like a negative always put upon our community, you know, as it's that addict, that criminal, that that person who's going to rob you in the street because they're begging. Trust me, if you're going to beg in the street, right, it takes a lot of guts to do that, right? And it takes a lot of your soul away to be able to do that. So it's about what the arts does. It's all right, re-engages the general public and brings a different type of person into a room who wouldn't normally engage with our community. For example, we could put a theatre production on or an opera production on, and people see opera singers, they see artists, they see these phenomenal human beings who just happen to be a person with addiction problems, a person with alcohol problems, a person with, you know, those problems are a minute part of who they are. You know, we shouldn't let that define them for the rest of their lives, right? It shouldn't be that just because they're going through these problems that they should be treated like crap, right? They shouldn't. We should be embracing them and bringing them forward, because as soon as you start embracing them and acknowledging that they have these things going on in their lives, they start to engage. They start to feel better about themselves. They don't feel as stigmatized about it, which then means that they tend to then ask for help to get out of those situations. You know, I'm an ex-addict, right? And I understand that situation very well. What the arts did for me, it brought a new type of person into space that actually treated me as if I was an artist. I was a photographer. I was a painter. I was an installation, you know, performer, etc., etc. They didn't see those add-on problems, right? And that's what the arts does. It basically brings the person center forward at the front, showcasing the good things that they have. They're amazing singers, they're amazing painters, amazing human beings. You know, for instance, like the whole thing with the tent situation that happened recently in the news and that, right? It was automatically treating those people on the streets as if they were criminals, right? For a situation what isn't even their fault. They don't have any choice to live in a tent or live on a street. That's the only option that they have at the moment. Where if we flipped like the narrative around that and said, well, actually, yeah, we're going to make that legal to, you know, to be on that, but we're going to give you this accommodation to help you get back on your feet. At the same time, it would make a massive impact. So, yeah, that's probably the way I look at things. And I probably talk a lot about this on a daily basis, is about stop stigmatizing my community, because it hurts us, right? If you keep doing that, it's only going to get worse. And those people who are going through that situation will never, ever ask for help. So that's how we've got to sort of like frame it and say, we want these guys to ask help. like, you know, whether you're a veteran, whether you're, you know, whatever it is, like ending up on the streets or into temporary accommodation, we're here to help you. Like, and we're not going to, like, say no to you just because, you know, you're going through a crap time. Like, you open the doors to different cultural spaces and whatever it is, like, that we have contact with to say, hey, we're here to help. What do you need from us?
And so, as well as the arts being a human right, they are also a great value to individuals, but also to communities and to society as a whole. And it reminds me of, at the start of this year, Melvyn Bragg opened a debate in the House of Lords about how the UK should realise the full potential of the arts to transform both our economy and society. And to quote Melvyn, he said, "The arts are not the cherry on the cake. They are the cake." Taking that into consideration, Matt, what is the value of artistic interventions then in the homelessness sector?
I love that quote. And we all agree. And I think it is about being really clear with the public and the sector about the value of the art for many reasons, for its own sake, for its ability to be a different voice, that storytelling thing that you talked about. And I always go back to one project that we were part of, which was a mural in Manchester, when at a point where there was a lot of spice on the streets and homeless people were really looked down upon and there was a lot of fear. 30 artists got together and co-created a mural about homelessness in a really positive light. And 20,000 people a week passed that mural and have done since 2018. And that's a very different story to the one that you hear all the time in the press, positive stories. And then I think the other value, as we've talked about, is the sort of intrinsic value of the art. It's really helping plug a gap in support or be an addition to the support of people who are or have been homeless. And again, around about the same time, 2018, we got together a group of people with lived experience and said, what are the needs that you would face on day one of becoming homeless? And there were loads of different things. But instead of what we would understand, I think, in society as a bit of a, we would say, a Maslowian kind of idea of food first, shelter, then, you know, once that's in place, then maybe more structured shelter. And then when that's in place, you know, at the very bottom, you get like hobbies, for instance. They saw it in a very different way. They saw all of these pieces as pieces of a jigsaw. So we created this methodology of a jigsaw, which is it's a flat structure. It's all of these pieces of food, shelter, healthcare, recovery, arts and sports are elements that people feel that they should have on day one. That's now been adopted by the United Nations as in their sort of best practice guide of homelessness. And then, I could go on and on, but I'd say finally, where we're sitting now in 2024 in homelessness, the biggest conversation piece is co-creation. When I started in homeless centres as a support worker in the early 2000s, support was very transactional. It was, you know, I was there to help people. People were there to receive my generous help. And that misses a massive opportunity of actually, if you have experienced all these things, we've gone through this, it really builds resilience, it builds risk-taking, it builds all of these assets. We as a society need to now look at the assets of people, and the arts can really unlock that. It can show you what you can do that's really positive. And so arts is a tool to increase co-creation and increase the way homeless people are listened to at policy level, at sector level. I think that's one of the most exciting things that is going to happen in the next couple of decades. And so the boardrooms, the staff teams of homelessness organisations will be filled with homeless people, and that's where we should be.
Absolutely. And anything that helps to centre those voices, and that people have a say on the policies that directly affect their own lives as well. And that's that final piece, perhaps, then, for the arts in terms of the advocacy work and the work that AHI is doing through that as well. I'd like to pose a final question, actually, to both of you. I'll come to you first, David, which is, you know, we've talked about the benefits of the arts and that dismantling of negative stereotypes and the value that the arts has both to the individual and to society. But what's next? What would you like to see in the future? What change do you want for the arts and homelessness sector?
I love this question. I want to see every homeless organisation run by people with lived experience. I don't want CEOs shipped in from corporate worlds, like getting £180,000 a year running charities which predominantly affect my community. I want the arts to engage with every part of society. You know, they always say, well, how do we get people from that community into our spaces? They never come in here. Well, actually engage with them and actually give them the spaces, let them control those spaces instead of it just being, you know, for instance, for me to have an exhibition in certain places, I have to pay those places to be able to get my work seen. It shouldn't be that case. It should be, and then a very rich artist gets paid to put their work in there. But how does that work? Like, you know, why is it the rich people get paid to put their work in there, but I have to pay to put my work in there? I want to see that changed. I want to see every single cultural space in the UK and world actually have a space where people who are homeless can come and be themselves, like, you know, not be kicked out for smelling a certain way or kicked out because they're carrying their worldly belongings with them. I'm pretty passionate about that. And I would like to see people engage with the community where they're not seeing them and us as criminals and addicts and alcoholics and stuff like that, but just see them as another human being who's just having a bit of a tough time and could do with a bit of a helping hand, but not a top-down approach way of looking at it, just as an equal, like we're both stood on this street together, you know, don't be scared of me, etc. Yeah, I think, plus I'd also like to see every single homeless person with a home. There's 1 billion, over 1 billion homeless people worldwide. There shouldn't be one, let alone 1 billion. That proves that something's gone wrong in society. And how can we, you know, say to people that we're the seventh richest nation in the world when we've got over 300,000 people homeless? It's just, it's wrong. It shouldn't even be that. So yeah, that's where I stand. Hopefully one day it'll change. And everyone have access to a pen and paper to be able to write a poem or scribble on it, air it up, rip it up, throw it in the air, make a paper airplane, whatever you want to do with it, just go and do it. Have some fun. Have fun. That's what we should say. Everyone needs to go and have fun and be a child again.
Thank you, David, and absolutely, and those are all changes that we hope for. And on that last thing that you mentioned there as well, I think it's really important, which is joy. The joy that the arts brings to the person creating it and then also putting it back out into the world as well. And sometimes when we're talking about such emotional and sensitive and challenging subject matter as we do, as both AHI deals with and those of us working in homelessness, is that joy is important as well. I won't continue too much on that because that could be another episode of the podcast. But Matt, just also bouncing that same question back over to you now, what change would you like to see?
Well, they say that all charities should aim not to exist in the future. Sadly, I think there is a bit of a industry of charity, and some of the bigger charities are, I think, most guilty of sort of perpetuating the industry of homelessness, actually. So for us to not exist, as David says, yeah, everyone has access to a home. For that to happen, I mean, and if you look internationally as well, the numbers in different countries are staggering and deeply, deeply troubling. And in many US cities, there are 200,000 people on the streets, and there's a fraction of that in the UK. So big policy needs to change. And I guess for us as well in the arts, we continue to fight for that time that people are spending experiencing homelessness to have that enrichment and all the benefits that we've described, and the ladder that can be provided for people into the creative industries using the arts. We have this leadership program where we're doing real sort of professional development for 8 artists a year who've been homeless to get into the arts. We'd love to see the arts world open up more to homelessness and homeless world open more up to arts, I guess.
Beautifully put. Thank you both, David and Matt. We end every episode of the podcast with a recurring segment where I ask each guest the same question. What does home mean to you? David, what does home mean to you?
Home means somewhere safe, secure, warm, with love, and my soul.
Thank you, David. And finally, Matt, what does home mean to you?
For me, home means a place and people. I've been really lucky to have had a home all through my life. And that safety of being somewhere I'd never take for granted. And I think as I've seen through all the years working in homelessness, that it's all also about people, it's about community. And even if you have that time when you don't have anywhere to call a home or a set of keys, that area of your of friendship and the community becomes your home, I think, in those times.
Thank you. That brings us to the end of this episode. We would like to thank our guests, David Tovey and Matt Peacock, for joining us and sharing their thoughts. For more information about our work, please visit meaningofhome.uk. Follow us on X, formerly Twitter, at meaningofhomelu. Remember to follow and share our podcast. And of course, thank you all for listening to The Meaning of Home. This podcast was created by the Home CDT. It was hosted by Sarah Christou, produced and edited by Dave Angel, and the music is by the Angel Brothers. All ideas expressed in this podcast are those of the individual. The meaning of home is brought to you by doctoral researchers at Loughborough University.